day of peace.
O day of peace that dimly shines through all our hopes and prayers and dreams, guide us to justice, truth, and love. From our selfish schemes, may swords of hate fall from our hands, our hearts of envy find release, till by God's grace our warring world shall see Christ's promised reign of peace. Then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, nor shall the fierce devour the small, as beast and cattle calmly graze, a little child shall
you to be seated and take an attitude of prayer where you are.
How do you describe homesickness to a child? You don't. They know. Children know the feeling of being away from home. It's fear dipped in loneliness. That what if I've been forgotten sonnet, or the what if I can't go back refrain. Even a healthy, scrubbed, clean, showered with love child knows the longing of home. But if I had to, if I had to describe that aching feeling, I would say homesickness is when longing and grief wrap themselves around you like a blanket. It's the door to comfort thrown open. It's an eye on the horizon for what could be, and the only way out is to keep walking, to keep dreaming, to keep looking for signs that will point you back home. And if you tell that to a child, you just may realize that a part of your spirit has shoes on and has always been walking, always been dreaming, always been looking for the home that could be. The door to comfort has been blown open. Tell God I'm homesick. I'm on my way.
Advent is a season in the church in which we're invited to slow down, to wait with intention. Lighting a candle each week marks our way here in this space along our Advent journey together. And during this Advent and Christmas season at the table, we will journey through scripture and rituals that are tender, heavy with emotion, and vulnerable. We carry the memories and truths of this season close to our hearts. When those same memories and those truths hit close to home, it affects us, sometimes deeply. So our Advent theme of close to home acknowledges the already but not yet tension that is our life and faith. Emmanuel is with us and not yet with us. God's promised day, our everlasting home, is not yet fully realized. And so close to home, we hope, names our longing for God to come close to us. We hope for a world where all are fed.
We hope for a world with more bridges than walls.
We hope for a world with wide open doors.
We hope for a world with contagious laughter.
We hope for a world where trees grow tall and creeks run clean.
We hope for a world where all people feel at home in their bodies, in the church, in their physical homes.
We hope for that world.
We long for that world.
We're homesick for that world.
So this day, we light the candle of hope, because hope keeps our hearts alive, alive as we wait.
May this light be our reminder that the wait is always worth it, for we are close to home. May we carry hope with us. Let the people say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand.
Israel. spring come and cheer. Thy spirits by thine advent here, and drive away the shades of night and death's dark shadow.
Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Linda Adue. Here's Sue, and alongside Matt Smith, I serve as one of the co-pastors of this community of faith. We're so grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday mornings, both in person and online, with stunning music and beautifully inspired artists. To grow in faith in our weekly kitchen tables, which are our small groups, they're the heartbeat of our community of faith here, and every week, those of us who are in kitchen tables gather to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment of loving God and loving our neighbors and searching Scripture together as a group. Pastor Matt and I also lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith, which helps those of us who are new and finding their way in this community of faith to move into those small groups. We'll be scheduling some more in the new year. Those that are going on right now are both full. Our children grow in faith with an outdoor version of Godly Play right now at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and that's where many of them are. And our high school students connect out at Table Farm for a new ministry that's called Rooted Fair, which has been a time of baking bread and breaking bread and tending to God's creation as they watch over each other in love. And they'll begin or reconvene that in the new year. As a community of faith, we reach in love in so many ways. Many of us were here on Thursday cheering on the, 30,000 people that happened to run by our door. And I can say they noticed our new bathrooms. I was so proud. Like, come on in. Really, especially the women, right? Yeah. The food and the flowers that we grow at Table Farm, we share them with our neighbors in collaboration with the South Sac Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. Our farm, like all of us, is in a time of waiting and anticipation right now. She is covered in cover crop and taking a bit of time off from producing. And so we pray for her and our land and all of us in this time of Advent. I want to just note for those of us who are gathering online that Chloe and Molly are there with all of you to help host you. If you have any kind of questions at all, just give them a direct message there in the comments or just in the comments, and they are right there to help you. When you feel ready, those of us who are online and want to be known, because you can go online and be completely anonymous, right? But when you're ready to take that next step, you just need to register. It's a very easy process and sign in. Chloe and Molly can help you with that as well. If you, all of us, online and here, would like to follow along like where we are in the worship order, you can do that with the QR code, and they're sprinkled around in the sanctuary, and they're online in the comments. for those of us who are like brand new and kind of want to know just a little bit more but without like making any waves, see, we try to be sensitive to that because it's just a brave thing to come out in public these days, right? But also to grace through a threshold of a religious institution. So if you're ready and you want to know a little bit more, you can always text the word new, and there's the number. And that just enters you into a conversation with Matt and me, Brendan, who is away. Look at that guy over there, Mr. Andre, who plays every instrument under God's universe. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I just want to make a note that on December 12th, we're going to have an all-church meeting. It's a business meeting that we do once a year. It'll be online. We hope to be there right about 12:15 if Matt preaches short. And I love saying that to him. And we'll give you more information to all of that. We're going to move forward with a song. I may be accused of being stuck in the 70s often, and this is going to do it again, because this is from 1970. It's music by Van Morrison, and it's a version he put out with Mavis Staples, I Invite Us to Stand. If I ever needed someone, which I do, a lot of someones.
Lord, if I ever needed someone, I need you, Lord. If I ever needed someone, I need you to see me through the daytime and through the long and lonely night. Lead me through the darkness and on into the light.
Understand.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone to call on when I need.
When I need you.
And I need you very much.
And I need you very much.
Open up all my arms,
open
to
up
you.
My arms to you.
And feel your tender touch. Feel it and to keep it. And keep it with me.
I need you.
ever needed someone, I need you.
We encourage those here in the sanctuary and our friends online to follow along in your own Bibles or with the words that you see on the screen as I share a reading this morning from Luke. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the child of humanity coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the child of humanity.
Raise the glass and joyful be.
Amen. As our musicians move down, I want to invite us both online and here in person to just settle into a moment of prayer. And I want to invite us to pray with the prayer that was shared this morning by a young theologian, prophet, who shares something that she calls black liturgies on social media, and I know many of us have connected with her writing, and this is her breath prayer for Advent. So I just invite you to inhale. The world feels dim, and exhale, but glory grows in the dark. Again, to inhale, the world feels dim, and exhale, but glory grows in the dark. And one more time, the world feels dim, but glory grows in the dark. So God, in the beauty of this darkness, in the beauty of this season in which days are ever shorter, may your love grow within us and help us to see your hope for the world. We offer this time in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Maya Angelou writes, "The ache for home lives in all of us. The safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned. Little things can remind us of home. And home, to be sure, isn't always found for many in a literal home, but for me, in many, many ways, it was as a child. Unexpectedly, little moments can transport me to that place. Like the Friday after Thanksgiving, hanging ornaments on a Christmas tree, ornaments from a childhood, as we start to turn toward the season of Advent. Or for me, it's those little pastel candy mints. They were always, no matter how many I took, they were always, it seemed, filling all the glass bowls in my grandparents' house. And so just seeing those today can transport me back. I can smell and hear those sounds. And home isn't always a literal home. I remember the very first time that I visited a Lutheran retreat center. It's located in the Cascade Mountains in central Washington. It's called Holden Village. And there, folks have gathered throughout the decades to focus around justice making and Jesus's call toward sustainability and a spirituality that is alive and inclusive. And it's a home for me of different sorts. The trees there at Holden, they reach so high into the sky. Mountains surround the little village, and trails lead in every direction. It's a place for me of shared meals and evening worship that the church calls vespers, harmonies, candle lighting. Music that has been passed through the generations, and every now and then here in the sanctuary, when I'm lighting one of those candles, I'm unexpectedly transported back to the candles and vespers at Holden Village. I hope that we all have places like that in our lives. And so for a moment, I want to invite you to imagine a place that's home for you. To go there in your heart and your mind, if you're able, maybe even to close your eyes if that helps. Maybe it's a literal home from a time in the past, or maybe it's a room now in your own apartment. Maybe it's the coast in Mendocino or the trees in Tahoe. I want to invite you to imagine for just a moment whatever that place that is home for you. And once you have that image of home, I'm going to ask you to do a hard thing. I want you to imagine losing it all. house crumbling, a mountainside aflame, village taken to ash. Everything that was home, gone. And if you haven't, I'd encourage you to open your eyes as you're ready or when you're ready. It's that place that gave rise to the reading that Avery shared with us, that Avery shared here in this sanctuary, a sanctuary that was built a few generations after another one in downtown Sacramento burned to the ground. In my images, those people must have looked on at that sanctuary, that home, and felt like they'd lost everything. And as we gather in this space to begin the season of Advent, our artists, Jan Martinez and Eric Castellanos, have helped us to move into the feelings of that grief. Outside, you may have noticed, Eric is experimenting to help us wonder about darkness and shadows and light. Or here in the sanctuary, in the front, with our Advent candles that will grow as we move toward Christmas, Jan has helped us with this stunning mosaic to just see the shadows, the curves, the darkness, dancing with the light. It's not with tinsel hanging from a tree, nor is it with chestnuts roasting on an open fire, but it's in the horror of everything lost that the story of Christmas begins in this season of Advent. An uprising by followers of Jesus sought to take down with arms the Roman Empire just a few decades after Jesus was crucified and rose. They had great hope that an uprising will finally push the boot of Rome off the necks of God's people, but instead, the boot stomped them out. The Roman army decimated those early followers of Jesus, utterly destroying their temple, the home, you could say, that they had built for God, bringing its walls crashing down. And Luke, like the other writers of the Gospels, and like John of Patmos, who we spent studying these last 3 weeks of the book of Revelation, they wrote from the rubble left behind of those homes crashing. The Gospels are written amid rubble with the suffocating smell of loss and grief still smoldering beneath the feet of those doing the writing and the listening. Advent begins there, here, in the shadows, as Eric is helping us to see, of loss and grief. Last week, I happened to be in a rental car. I was helping with a wedding in Arizona, in Tucson. And after I had gotten lost, is what I'll say, out in, it turns out every saguaro cactus looks like every other one. At least it does to me. I'm sure it doesn't to people that know the land more powerfully and beautifully than I do. But I found myself lost and frustrated and concerned that I wasn't going to make it back to actually facilitate the wedding that I had traveled so far to be there because I couldn't find my way back to the car. And I finally found my way back and I turned the car on and NPR had a podcast on called Throughline. And this podcast was from a couple months ago, actually, but it was titled The Nostalgia Bone. And if you haven't listened to it, I do recommend it. But the host opened the podcast. Nostalgia takes us to that warm, reliable place of before. But this emotion has lived many lives. And before it was thought of as a marketing scheme, a political strategy, a beat-up cassette tape, or simply summer turning to fall, nostalgia wasn't an emotion at all. It was a deadly disease. I had no idea. Nostalgia goes all the way back, it turns out, to 1680, when a group of Swiss soldiers stationed abroad started coming down with a mysterious disease. Fainting, hallucinating. Claiming they saw ghosts and heard voices, they curled up as their bodies ached. And the season of autumn, with leaves changing colors and then falling to the ground as they are now here in Sacramento, that seemed to be the very worst time for this deadly disease. The Swiss soldiers could barely rise out of bed in the morning. And there was a 19-year-old medical student, Johannes Hofer, and he witnessed the suffering and decided to write a medical dissertation. I do want to just say for the med students among us, this was a 19-year-old writing a medical dissertation. On what causes the ache which was debilitating the soldiers, that left them barely able to get out of bed. And he called it nostalgia, from two Greek words that roughly translate as homecoming and ache. It was actually listed as a cause of death all the way up to 1918. Nostalgia. And while our understanding has evolved dramatically over the generations, and we no longer see nostalgia as a disease causing death, we have not cured the ache for home. So we begin this worship series, as we so often do in the Christian tradition, not by starting with the beginning, but by turning to the end that is itself a beginning, and then the beginning that becomes an end. And we do so here as we encounter Jesus, who's moving from the temple during the day up to the Mount of Olives, where he could look out, it would seem, over the temple. And it's there, up on the Mount of Olives, in the shadows of the temple, in the shadows of the Roman army, that we encounter the one who is identified as a sign from God in infancy, lifting the veil on how to read the signs of God's kingdom, or as we so often share here at the table, God's kingdom, a reframing of a word from Ana Maria Assasi Diaz, God's kingdom drawing near. And this part of Luke's gospel echoes the apocalyptic literature that we just spent these last 3 weeks unpacking. Jesus says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations. Confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This little text is known by scholars as the Little Apocalypse. The Greek word for revelation, apocalypsis, it literally translates as a lifting of the veil. And it feels actually fitting, though a little bit startling and challenging, that we would follow a three-week worship series on lifting of the veil in Revelation with a little lifting of the veil. Isn't that how it so often actually works? The veil is lifted, but it takes time to unpack, to integrate what we've just witnessed. It feels so true amid the continued unfolding of global pandemic, the ruptures of racialized violence that we continue to find our way through. A leader in the Presbyterian Church, her name is Vilmarie Cintrone Olivieri. She writes about it like this. Images of distress, confusion, and fear emerge in Luke 21. In many ways, the feelings that these words evoke mirror the past almost 2 years of pandemic crisis. A world in turmoil, suffering from disasters, both natural and human-made, peaking to the realities and injustices of a chaotic world. And so we begin our journey in Advent toward God moving into the neighborhood, coming home to be with us, by first acknowledging how truly far away from home we really are. Distress among nations. Thousands of migrants' lives right now are in peril on the border between Poland and Belarus. distress among nations. Signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Billionaires tour space and make plans for Mars while entire communities are burned off the map and flooded out of existence. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. A professor of New Testament, her name is Audrey West, she writes that the devastation is enough to take one's breath away. And that's actually the meaning of the Greek word that's translated as faint in verse 26 that Avery shared. People will faint, or more literally, to stop breathing, be breathless from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. I know with the news of another strain coming, I felt just a little bit breathless. The world is not as God longs for it to be. It seems here in Sacramento, more people than ever before are without a physical home. Whereas our young people who came together a few years ago, they began to imagine what would become Table Farm and Table Bread, and it was them that first drew our attention to the epidemic of isolation that was already being experienced even before global pandemic, that left so many young people feeling alone. And global pandemic is clearly not going away anytime soon, and Jesus' description of the signs in the ancient world feels strikingly familiar. Skies filled with smoke, 100-year floods returning every 2 or 3 years, distress among nations. There is no Garden of Eden, and the New Jerusalem is not yet here. We are in between, no longer home, longing for home. And instead of inviting us into a season of waiting this Advent, which is often how the church frames this season of preparing for Christmas, Jesus in Luke's gospel invites us not to wait, but to watch. Watch for the signs of God making all things new. Again, Ville-Marie Cintrone Olivieri writes, "Thankfully, Jesus enters this world offering words not of foreboding, but of hope to a homesick people that felt far away from God and longed to be close to kin in the middle of the crisis. Stand up and raise your heads," Jesus said, "because your redemption is drawing near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near." God is close. Even when the world and our lives seem to be coming undone. The good news of our Christian faith begins and ends with homecoming. And today we enter a season of watching for the one who will come offering homecoming. Offering homecoming as we'll sing from the words of Gregory Porter to those in the alleys, the afflicted ones, the lonely ones who somehow lost their way. The Christian story is not a return to the Garden of Eden we once knew. The garden, like the temple, like the home that we opened imagining when we closed our eyes, those are no more. We live in between the times, in the already and the not yet, and so we sing that God's day of peace dimly shines. And hope is born here in the luminous darkness. The darkness is where God is always already working, stirring, evoking, inviting. This is the promise of Advent, the hope of Christmas. And I was taken into the depths of how this is actually the movement of the arc of our entire biblical witness in our Christian tradition. A writer who I hadn't encountered until this week, her name is Jen Pollock Michael, and she writes about the arc of the biblical witness in this way. The biblical narrative begins and ends at home. I'd never held that truth before. The biblical narrative begins and ends at home, from the Garden of Eden to the New Jerusalem. Because God's story begins in a garden and ends in a city, place isn't incidental to Christian hope. Just as bodies aren't incidental to salvation. God will resurrect our bodies and will finally, she writes, bring us home. And so Jesus stands in the rubble and offers words of hope for a homesick world. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. The child of humanity was there in the rubble, here in the rubble, calling us to be ready. Because despite how things might seem along the lonesome roads, God is on the move, calling us home to a place to rest where wounds are dressed, the tables full, sounds of laughter fill the halls. A theologian named Matthew Meyer Bolton describes it really beautifully, and I want to share his words. Christmas begins in the shadows of hopelessness. There it lights a candle of hope, for God is on the way. It begins in the rubble of desecration, and there it picks up a stone and rebuilds, for God is on the way. Christmas begins in the dark, in the shadows, in the rubble, in the ashes, because in those places, and really only in those places, can we hear the good news of the gospel, the good news of apocalypse lifting the veil, of hope when all hope seems lost. That's where Christmas begins. So may this season, which ends in homecoming, invite us into the depths of God's hope for our homesick world. Amen.
The world feels dim. And glory grows in the dark. And I believe that Jesus knew that glory as he also knew how it grew in the dark. He knew it especially in those times in which he took time away, as well as those times when he gathered people together. And one of those gathering times was in what we believe to be the last week of his life, when he invited his friends so very long ago, those closest companions who had been journeying with him, to gather around a table for a meal. And so we too are called by him to gather around this table for God's meal. And as we prepare ourselves to eat this holiest of meals, I want to invite us to join together in a prayer of confession. I'd like you to stand if you are willing. And those of us at home can follow along on the screen as well. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we find ourselves with two options every day: to stay homesick for the world you had in mind,
or to allow cynicism to win. Do we hope against hope,
or do we throw in the towel?
Do we insist on a better world,
or do
we assume it's impossible?
Forgive us for the days when cynicism wins. Forgive us for numbing our homesick hurt instead of using it to fuel a better world.
Kindle in us a hope that won't let go.
Gratefully
we pray. Amen.
Friends, even when we give up on hope, God never, ever gives up on us. We are loved. We are claimed. We are forgiven. And we are invited ever closer into God's adopted family, home. So let us hear and share in this good news out loud together.
There is room for us in God's house, and nothing can separate us from that love. We are claimed, we are forgiven, we are welcomed home. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.
And I invite you to join with me in the call and response that has been the church's practice for recognizing the belovedness of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God, the sculptor, the artist, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing the stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans, rivers, ponds, and swimming beings began to make waves. And God reached to the sky and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, this is good.
Amen.
When everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, you're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, all of this, my beloved creation is good. But it wasn't good for long because God's people could not be faithful in spite of God's generosity, God's love, and God's loyalty. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out truth and compassion and hope and placed it in a form that people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God sent Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be if we would abide in God's love as Jesus abided in God's unfolding grace.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God.
Jesus did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it. And we are afraid. So Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too great for them. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with them. And like those longest ago companions, we don't always understand the message that Jesus is bringing to us or what his coming and going and coming again means for us. But we can be grateful and we can sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, bread and wine, and he blessed them, and he gave thanks to God. And he said, I'm sharing this meal with all of you now so that you can share it together. And whenever you do, remember me.
Amen.
So I invite you into prayer with the words that Jesus taught his disciples so very long ago, this ancient prayer of the church we call the Lord's Prayer, and we encourage you to address God in the name that is dear and most true to your home of heart. Let us pray. Our Mother God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Holy Spirit, pour your power upon these gifts gathered here before us. Make this for us the body, the love, and the hope of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, Christ's body, hope, and love alive in the world. Amen.
You may be seated, those of us gathered here. We share communion out of doors. And so we just want you to relax and stay where you are for these moments until Avery comes down the center aisle and directs you. We leave our masks on here in worship as we watch over one another in love and try to keep distance as we move from this space out of doors around the back and into the sanctuary again. We invite you to take your time. It's kind of interesting to look at the exterior now that you've seen the interior. There are places to kneel and be in prayer surrounding our sanctuary, and we've put our standing station in the back again, in the very back row. So remember, we are in this together, God's divine dance. You can't make a mistake, so please don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We watch over each other.
Friends, this is the body of Christ broken for you and the cup of God's love poured out for you. Loving God, we give thanks for the depths of your holy mystery, this divine dance through which you reveal yourself to creation in the breaking of bread and the sharing of a cup. May your peace make us one and call us ever deeper into ways of loving one another that align with the way and the hope of Jesus our Christ. Amen. We want to encourage, invite you to continue responding to God's movement in your own life as we discern close to home together during this season of watching for God's signs and movement among us. And some of the ways that we do that are by responding in ways of giving generously. We encourage you to do that either through text or online. There are places here for those in person to make gifts to help our community of faith align more deeply with God's movement for love and healing and justice in the world. You can do that here in the offering plates or online via text as well. We are going to go out this morning in song, but before we do, I want to make a note for folks about next Sunday. Always the first Sunday in December in Sacramento is something called the California International Marathon. So if you're a marathoner, it is one of the best routes to qualify for the Boston Marathon because it's slightly downhill and it just sounds horrible to think that there are good and bad ways to run 26.2 miles, but apparently this is a better one. So for those of you that are not running the 26.2 mile California International Marathon next week. We will see you here, but we will only see you in person if you map your route creatively, because J Street is closed, Fair Oaks is closed, the bridge by Sac State, all closed next Sunday. So map your route accordingly, and we're going to go out in song this morning to our music team helping us with May You Find a Light. So I invite you, those that are here, to stand as you are able, and those online to join us. We will move into virtual coffee tables with Molly and Chloe just after this song as well.
Lost and weary traveler, searching for the way to go. Strange and heavy hearted, longing for someone to know. May you find a light. May you find light. May you find light to guide you home.
When the world feels like it's coming undone, God is at work amidst the chaos and the rubble. So may the light of God guide you home this very day. Go in peace. Amen.
light to guide you home.